ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 chapter entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 70. Rupa Peshala Madhurya Saugandhya Priyadarshana Strinam Priyatamo Nityam मत्तस्व पुरलंपठ। ट्रांसलेशन। आई हैड अ ब्यूटिफुल फेस एंड अ प्लीजिंग अट्रैक्टिव बॉडीली स्ट्रक्चर डेकोरेटेड विथ फ्लावर गार्लेंड्स एंड सैंडलवुड पल्प। आई वॉज मोस्ट प्लीजिंग टू द वुमेन ऑफ माई सिटी। दस आई वॉज बिविल्डर्ड ऑलवेज फीलिंग लस्टी डिजायर्स। परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीलेसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। From the description of the beauty of Narad Muni when he was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, it appears that everyone on that planet is extremely beautiful and pleasing and always decorated with flowers and sandalwood. Upabharana was Narad Muni's name previously. Upabharana was specifically expert in decorating himself to attract the attention of women. And thus he became a playboy, as described in the next verse. To be a playboy in this life is unfortunate because too much attraction to women will lead one to fall into the association of Shudras, who can easily take advantage of mingling with women without restriction. In this present age of Kali, when people are Manda Sumanda Mataya, very bad because of Shudra mentality, such free mingling is prominent. Among the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, there is no chance for men to mingle with women freely, but in the Shudra community, such mingling is open. Because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali, everyone is spiritually untrained and everyone is therefore to be considered Shudra. Ashuddha Shudra Kalpai Brahmana Kali Sambhava. When all the people become Shudras, certainly they are very bad, Manda Sumanda Mataya. Thus they manufacture their own way of life with the result that they gradually become unfortunate, Manda Bhagya. And furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances. Hare Krishna. I would like to seek permission and blessings of His Grace Srinadji Prabhu and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Before we discuss the purport and this beautiful, very instructive section from Srimad Bhagavatam, I was thinking we can briefly speak the glories of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, whose disappearance is today. He is one of the chief disciples of Lord Chaitanya and the principal six Goswamis, one of the main six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared 500 years ago in the house of Venkata Bhatt, who was a Sri Vaishnav Brahmin at Srirangam, which is the headquarters for Sri Sampradaya. And Venkata Bhatt, Trimala Bhatt and Prabodhanand Saraswati were three brothers and they were staying there. And when Lord Chaitanya went on a South India Yatra, South India tour, he stopped at Srirangam. And that was the beginning of the Chaturmas. And Venkata Bhatt was very attracted by Lord Chaitanya. And he invited Lord Chaitanya to spend the Chaturmas at his home. And that's where Mahaprabhu stayed 4 months. And Venkata Bhatt's young son, Gopal Bhatt, who was just 6-7 years old, he got completely attracted to Lord Chaitanya as a young boy, a 6-year-old boy. And he would wash Lord Chaitanya's feet every day, take Charanamrit, do humble menial service. And that's how, as a young boy, he got attached to the Supreme Lord. And his parents were very happy to see this. This is the glory of parents who are spiritually inclined. They like to see their children get attached to sadhus, pure devotees, the Lord. So like this, Gopal Bhatt was very much attracted. And day and night he was just attached to Lord Chaitanya. He would just be with him. And as a young boy, one night when he was sleeping, one night he was lamenting. Great lamentation. And he was very sad. This sadness is not like our sadness. This is transcendental sadness. Spiritual. He was feeling, oh, my dear Lord, my dearmost Lord, Gauranga, he has taken sannyas, which is so hard life. But he appeared in Navadvip, I heard. You know, as Navadvip Chandra, as the moon of Navadvip, dressed in beautiful garments, enjoying the enjoy of the goddess of fortune. And I'm so unfortunate, I could never see the Lord in that form. In that great transcendental lamentation, he was crying, and he fell unconscious. And that time he got the vision of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, chanting and dancing with his associates. And he saw himself also in that kirtan as a young boy. He got that beautiful vision. And at one particular point of that kirtan, he saw in that vision, Advaita Acharya Nityananda Prabhu telling him something very confidential in the ear. And as he got this vision, he got up with a start. And he ran to the place where Lord Chaitanya was sitting. And he embraced Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and started shedding tears of ecstatic joy. And when he opened his eyes and saw, Lord Gauranga had transformed into Navadvip Chandra as the Lord of Navadvip, and with his beautiful flowing garments and beautiful hair cascading down his shoulders. And little Gopal Bhatt was ecstatic. And then in front of him, this Navadvip Chandra, Lord, transformed into Shyam Sundar, Krishna form, with a beautiful blackish complexion and peacock feather on his head, holding a flute. And then he became so ecstatic that he fell unconscious. And when he woke up, he saw Lord Chaitanya in his sannyas form. And he was crying profusely, and Lord Chaitanya picked him up, put him on his lap. And Lord Chaitanya also soaked him with his tears of love. And then he instructed Gopal Bhatta Goswami that you should go to Vrindavan and become a dear associate and friend of Rupa and Sanatana. But first you take care of your parents because they are great Vaishnavas, and serve them till the very end. And after the Chaturmas, there was a very tearful farewell. All the devotees bid goodbye to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya went on his tour. And years passed, and Gopal Bhatta learnt all the scriptures, Bhakti Shastras, from his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. And then eventually his parents became old, and they blessed Gopal Bhatta to go to Vrindavan and follow the order of Lord Chaitanya. And then that's how, after performing his final duties for his parents, he came to Vrindavan and became one of the most intimate associates and friends of Rupa and Sanatana. Mahaprabhu of that time at Puri, and he was wondering what has happened to Gopal Bhatta. As he reached Vrindavan, so many years have passed. And just then a messenger came and said that, yes, Gopal Bhatta is in Vrindavan. And then Mahaprabhu, in great joy, gave him his own loincloth, his one asan in which Mahaprabhu would sit. Personal paraphernalia Mahaprabhu gave, sent to Gopal Bhatta, and Gopal Bhatta received it with great devotion, and that is still kept in Radharaman temple. On special occasions, they bring this asan and all these things outside for darshan. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami assisted Rupa and Sanatana, he assisted in the writing of Haribhakti Vilas. And in Krishna Charitamrita, he assisted. He was a great scholar and of course a great devotee. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, all the Goswamis there had their own deities and temples. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Shaligram Shilas. And one day he developed a strong desire that I should worship the Shaligram Shilas in the deity form of Krishna also. So that was Narsingh Chaturdashi. Like he prayed, oh Lord, like Narsingh Devi appeared from a pillar. So I beg you, please appear in your threefold bending form so that I can actually feed you and, you know, I can serve you in a more personal way. And the day after Narsingh Chaturdashi, when he came back from Yamuna after his morning bath, he saw that his Damodar Shila had turned into Radharaman, the most beautiful deity in Vrindavan, which is not very tall materially, but it's the most attractive deity. And it is said that Radha Madan Mohan deity perfectly manifests Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet is perfectly manifested in the lotus feet of Madan Mohan deity, worshipped by Sanatan Goswami. And Krishna's middle portion and his hands playing the flute, that portion is beautifully, perfectly manifested and present in the middle portion and the hands playing the flute of Govinda deity, which was the worshipable deity of Rupa Goswami. And Madhu Pandit Goswami worshipped Radha Gopinath, and Gopinath's face, it is said, perfectly manifests the face of Krishna. And all the devotees who came to see Radha Raman's installation, the Radha Raman's appearance, they came for the festival. They all declared unanimously that Radha Ramanji has the lotus feet of Madan Mohan, the middle portion of Govindji, and the face of Gopinath. For Radha Raman deity appeared in reciprocation with the intense devotion of Gopal Bhattu Goswami. And that's why I think this is the only deity that did not leave Vrindavan. I've heard like this, that when Aurangzeb attacked, this deity could be easily concealed. And Radharaman temple has one of the best standards of deity worship. Srila Prabhupada said that devotees, we should learn from them. You know, I'm not sure about learning from them, but Prabhupada actually said that they have the best standards in Vrindavan, and they should we should aspire to have standards like that. So because Gopal Bhattu Goswami knew that a few years he will be ending his pastime, so he wanted a system of worship, tradition to carry on for centuries. So he had one disciple, Gopinath Pujari, who was a brahmachari, and he had no inclination to get married. But he was the most trusted person, so Gopal Bhatt wanted him to continue the tradition. So his younger brother, Damodar Das, he agreed to get married, and through his family, lineage, it is still going on. So they have now a lot of families, and they all worship by turn. And they also have a big treasury where Radha Ramanji's all donations that have come in terms of jewels and necklaces, gold, all those things are kept there. And you require 3 keys to open different people. And it's a very systematic process, very well established by Gopal Bhattu Goswami. And they have one of the best standards of deity worship. So this is the glory of Gopal Bhattu Goswami. Also, he was so humble. In Kaviraj Goswami doesn't mention much about him in Chaitanya Charitamrit, because when he went to take blessings, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to take blessings for writing Chaitanya Charitamrit, he visited all devotees, and one of the devotees who refused to give blessing is Gopal Bhattu Goswami. Not that he refused, he said, you should not mention my name, that is the condition. You should not mention my name in the Chaitanya Charitamrit. You should not glorify me. Then I will give you full blessing. He was so humble, he didn't want to be glorified. So as a respect to his sentiment, Kaviraj Goswami writes very little about him. But later on we hear the glories from Narahari Sarkar, and he explains in great detail. And Gopal Bhattu Goswami also had very amazing disciple, Srinivas Acharya, who was the champion book distributor, was the original book distributor, he, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamanand Pandit. So Gopal Bhattu Goswami is one of the main Goswamis of Vrindavan, and we can pray to him on this special day, that we can also chant Hare Krishna in such a way that in our stone heart also Lord appears, and we can also get mercy of the Lord. Shri Gopal Bhattu Goswami ki jai. Reading about this verse in particular, actually this section, I was thinking we'll take the essence of this section. This chapter, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, actually, Narad Muni has already established the importance of Brahmanas, the Varnashram. And now he's showing the difference in the grades of different Brahmanas in this chapter. And after explaining all that, he then starts explaining about how every householder should be very careful. He's talking about Grahasthashram. And they should try to conquer their senses, otherwise they'll become victim of association of material relatives and they'll fall down. So this he explains in great detail. And then to explain the power of bad association, he also says his own story. So that is what we are reading. He has begun his own story as the Gandharva in the two lives before. He was Upavarna. And how in the association of lusty women, he he gave up the process of devotional service. So that point is very nicely emphasized. In fact, he was doing Sankirtan. Actually, 2-3 verses later, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that, what is the mistake of Upavarna? He did two mistakes he did. One was, he considered, Prabhupada writes, Sankirtan to be equal to an ordinary mundane cinema song. He didn't consider it to be non-different from Krishna. He was just chanting frivolously, offensively. And second, he was chanting Sankirtan, but in the association of lusty women. Was trying to impress them through his chanting. So that's why Prabhupada is calling him a playboy, Upavarna, here in this purport. So, Sankirtan is most important process in this section we'll read. But also at the same time, it has to be performed with a mood of devotion, not whimsically. There is an interesting definition of Sankirtan given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, we all generally refer to Sankirtan, when we hear the word Sankirtan, we understand what Jiva Goswami says, coming together and chanting Hare Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is explained by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu very beautifully in one class. He says, Sankirtan means, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, chanting Kirtan that is performed perfectly, completely, thoroughly, that is Sankirtan. It's interesting. I want to clarify. We are not saying that our chanting should be perfect. In the sense, I'm a great chanter. I have controlled the holy name. I have holy name in my grip. That's not our mood. We are servants of the holy name. We can never say that I have mastered japa. I'm perfect. No. So in that sense, we are not saying perfect chanting or complete chanting. What we are meaning by complete and perfect, excellent chanting is having a proper attitude to serve and prayerful chanting. That is excellent chanting. So considering this as the definition, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says, our Sankirtan has to be perfect, then it is Sankirtan. Our Sankirtan has to be thorough, excellent, flawless. So, because Upavarna was not having this approach for chanting, he fell down. So therefore, when we are chanting, or we are taking part in the Sankirtan movement, we have to endeavor to have perfect chanting. What do we mean by perfect chanting? It is very nicely explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He explains in Harinam Chintamani, he gives commentary on different Shikshashtakam verses. For the first verse, we all know, Cheto Darpana Marjan. He says, describes seven glories of the holy name. Seven excellences of the holy name. How holy name is super excellent because of seven benedictions that we get if we chant Hare Krishna. We all will get seven benedictions if we chant Hare Krishna. The first is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Our heart will be cleansed of all the dirty things. All lust, envy, everything will go away. Then Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, which means the blazing forest fire of material existence will be extinguished if we take shelter of the holy name. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, which means the third one. Kairava means white lotus, and our good fortune, auspiciousness is compared to a lotus. Just like the lotus slowly blossoms, auspiciousness and our good fortune also slowly blossoms as the moon rays of holy name falls upon. Very beautifully, poetically composed by Lord Chaitanya. So basically what it means is, our good fortune increases. So first, dirty things from the heart gets cleansed. Second, blazing forest fire of material existence gets extinguished. Third, good fortune increases. And fourth, Vidya Vadu Jivanam means, Vidya, transcendental knowledge about Krishna is compared to a bride. This is very beautiful. See the poetic composition also. Transcendental knowledge is compared to a vadhu, bride. And jivanam, this bride is enlivened when the husband of holy name is there. That means, transcendental knowledge about Krishna will arise in the heart if we take shelter of the holy name. Vidya, vadhu, jivanam. This is the fourth. And then anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam means, The ocean of bliss will expand for a devotee who takes shelter of the holy name. See, so many benedictions. And the sixth, Purnamrita Swadhanam. Anandamudi Vardhanam Pratipadam, Purnamrita Swadhanam. Taste for service increases. We like to do more and more service. Sevaras increases. And the last, seventh one is Sarvatma Snapanam. All selfishness will go away. We'll think less of ourselves and more of Krishna and other devotees. Instead of always saying, I am fallen, I am miserable, I am bad, we'll think of how Krishna is great and how I should serve other devotees. So these seven benedictions will accrue to a devotee who chants holy name. But Bhaktivedanta Thakur explains, it's not that the seven benedictions will come if we chant holy name. What is the last line? Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So if the Sankirtan is Param Vijayate, if the Sankirtan is triumphant, victorious, if chanting is perfect, then the seven benedictions will come. So chanting has to be excellent. And then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the second verse, what is the second verse of Shikshashtakam? Mahaprabhu is singing, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. The holy name has all potencies. Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kala. No hard and fast rules for chanting. And then, Etadrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi. Oh my dear Lord, you are so merciful, you have appeared in the form of your holy names. But, this is the most important line. Durdevam idrisham ya jaminanuraga. Oh, how unfortunate I am that I have no taste for chanting the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this mood is, I am so unfortunate because I am committing lot of offenses to the holy name. And therefore, I cannot relish the holy name. So very interesting. First verse talks about the glories of the holy name. And second verse talks about our disqualification. Which means like glories of holy name and our glory or our lack of glory. No, our fallen condition is revealed in the second verse. And the first verse reveals the glory of Krishna's holy names. So then how to bridge the gap? How to get the adhikar to chant holy name? What is the solution for getting those seven benedictions, for getting those mercy? How to get that rasa for holy name? So the solution is, we have to constantly keep chanting. But is chanting so easy? Can we constantly chant? No. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has chanted the third verse of Shikshashtakam. Trinadapi suni chena taroriva sahishnunam amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant in the humble state of mind, considering oneself to be lower than a blade of grass, more humble than a tree, offering all respects to others and not expecting any respect in return. So if you have this consciousness and this mood, then kirtaniya sadahari is possible. Sometimes we may see some devotee chanting a lot and we may think, oh, it's so easy, he's not doing anything practical, he's just chanting. No, chanting is, you need adhikar for chanting, it's not easy to chant. And that kirtaniya sadahari is possible only if you have the above four. Humility, tolerance, respecting others, not expecting. So whoever is taking shelter of the holy names, we should really be very much respectful to them. So therefore, this is the crux of the matter. So excellent sankirtan, top class chanting means we have to be yearning to be humble. We have to be aspiring to chant with great devotion. Otherwise, our chanting will not be effective. This is a very important point. We may keep chanting, we may apparently be chanting a lot, but it will not produce the desired results. Because, you know, there is sometimes confusion. Sometimes we think, "Arey, forget all this, just keep doing seva, just hang around in ISKCON, don't leave association of devotees, then everything will be taken care of." Yes, but at the same time, we have to endeavor to invest our consciousness into the chanting of our japa. That is why Prabhupada established International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is being conscious of Krishna that matters. So that is the main point. Srila Prabhupada, because sometimes devotees think, Prabhupada just said, just keep chanting, no problem, do your 16 rounds and then keep doing seva. Don't worry too much about chanting, improving chanting, all this. No, Prabhupada was actually very insistent that devotees do not simply move the beads, but they actually offer their heart to Krishna. In the initial days, in 1966, the devotees would go on Harinam Sankirtan and they would distribute one pamphlet to all the passers-by, New York. It's an interesting pamphlet. If you read that, devotees are distributing and that pamphlet is Prabhupada's commentary on holy name. So Prabhupada writes, Hare Krishna chanting is so simple, even a drunkard can join and chant. Everybody will get benefit. So it appears that Hare Krishna is very easy, simple, just chant. But in that same passage, same essay, Prabhupada also writes, initially there is nothing, you just come, chant, even a drunkard can join. But as we cultivate the process, as we take to the process more sincerely, Prabhupada, the exact statement Prabhupada writes is, one should carefully guard against the offenses on grounds of spiritual understanding. Prabhupada writes this. We should guard against the offenses on the grounds of spiritual understanding. That means we should chant without offenses. We can't commit offenses while chanting the holy name and excusing ourselves by saying that I am doing so much service, I am doing so many things, no problem, I am busy. No, but we have to pray and we have to be guarding ourselves against offenses. So Prabhupada wanted us to guard against offenses while chanting. He wanted us to chant attentively, prayerfully. And this comes out very striking in one pastime. This was in early 1970s when in Hawaii, America, one splinter group started. In the sense, some devotees broke away from mainstream ISKCON. And they used to concoct some of Prabhupada's teachings and they were saying, we are actually ISKCON. And their argument was, Namnamakari Bauda, no hard and fast rules for chanting. So they would be in their karmi clothes with long hair, with hippie kind of lifestyle and at the same time chant Hare Krishna. And they would say that there are no hard and fast rules, you can just chant, no need, don't talk about all this, attentive chanting, all that is not needed, just chant. But the mainstream devotees are saying, no, you have to follow the process, you have to follow regulative principles, you have to actually be careful, not simply chant whimsically. So this debate was going on and they were waiting for Prabhupada to come and resolve it. When Srila Prabhupada came to Hawaii and this discussion came up in front of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave an amazing understanding. Prabhupada heard both parties and he emphatically said, chanting has to be done while following the process and we have to guard against offenses. And the same conversation Prabhupada says, if we do not chant, trying to free ourselves from this offensive mentality, then Prabhupada says, it is like cooking with smoke. For cooking, you need hot fire. If you cook with smoke, what will happen? There are two things that will happen. One is, if you are cooking a breakfast, that breakfast will never get cooked with smoke. We'll break our head, but no breakfast. That problem will be there. Second, cooking with smoke means, we may cook intensely with smoke, but only our lungs will get black, our eyes will get black, face will become black, we'll start coughing. So much misery. So in that conversation, Prabhupada says, you can cook for 300 years, but you'll get nothing if you cook with smoke. Very interesting point. You can cook with smoke for 300 years, but you'll still not get anything. So Prabhupada said, so you can keep chanting. It is like cooking with smoke. No, you can't chant like that. Prabhupada insisted, we have to chant with feeling. We have to chant offering our prayer, offering our heart to Krishna and begging for service. That should be the mood. So therefore, to help us understand this better, the acharyas have told us how to actually chant. What does it mean to chant well? So they have given us three levels of chanting so that we can know where we are and how we can steadily go up. Our goal is to, now if this is what Prabhupada wants, if this is what the acharyas want and the Lord wants, that we chant with great feeling of love, how do we develop this? So acharyas have given us a process. So the highest way of chanting, which may be, we may all admit that we are not on that level, that is Shuddha Naam chanting, pure chanting of the holy name. Now when chanting Hare Krishna, pure devotee, this particular stage of Shuddha Naam, we cannot fathom what it is. Only a pure devotee knows. He sees Krishna and Krishna is dancing on his tongue. It may be beyond our understanding. We cannot even fathom what it is. That is one level of pure devotee's chanting. And there is another level, other extreme, which we may be able to relate to. And that is, first is Shuddha Naam. And our level is Naam Aparad, chanting offensively, in the sense, which means, while chanting, our attention is everywhere except on the holy name. You know, we are chanting and serving all the chandeliers in the temple hall, or, you know, thinking of so many things I did yesterday, thinking of future, and in illusion about the present. Worrying about the future, a lamentation about the past, and illusion about the present. Everything except the holy name. So this is Namaprad chanting. And we all struggle with this many times. Vikshepa, distraction, inattentiveness, all those things. Sleep, jadya, all these things come under. They all cause, this is offensive chanting. And the root of all these offenses is inattention. All the offenses to the holy name are compared to a tree, huge tree. And the root of this tree is inattention. The 11th offense we say, it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. It is the root of all offenses. So we are committed, so we are at Namaprad stage. We are not able to chant attentively. And pure devotees are chanting at Shuddhanam. So now what should we do? How do we actually chant well? How do we make our chanting Sankirtan? Understanding the definition given by the Acharyas. How do we make our chanting perfect? So, Shuddhanam may be beyond us, but still, there is a middle stage. There is a second stage. Namaparad, and then Namabhas. Abhas means reflection. So, Namabhas is a stage when you and me, if we reach this stage, we will be chanting almost purely. It's not pure chanting, but it is a reflection of the pure holy name. Which means, it is, Prabhupada said, almost pure chanting, but not pure chanting. That's a lot of difference. This is the stage when it's not that we are not committing offenses. Let me clarify. It's not that we are free from offenses. Namabhas chanting is a stage when we are trying to be free from offenses. Because of our inadequacies, we may fall down, we may slip, we may be inattentive again. But again, we are fighting back to free ourselves from offenses. For the stage of fighting, that is called a Namabhas, where we are endeavoring to, where we endeavor to come out of Namaprad stage sincerely. That is Namabhas stage, which means basically that Namabhas stage is within our grasp. We can all be chanting at the platform of Namabhas. The only qualification, we should have a desire. Very interesting point. So, Shuddhanam may be very high level. And to reach Shuddhanam stage, what is needed? A devotee is chanting intensely at Namabhas, calling out to Krishna intensely. And then if Krishna is pleased, he may bestow Shuddhanam, pure chanting of the holy name. So that is not guaranteed. Causeless mercy is required. So if somebody with Namabhas, he is struggling hard to please Krishna, and Krishna may give, then what to speak of somebody who is at Namaparad and is complacent and is comfortable and not endeavoring to improve? What is his chance and scope of getting pure holy name? That is the point we have to understand. So whenever a devotee is chanting and is intensely praying to Krishna that, Krishna, I want to become free from offenses, please help me. I want to surrender, I want to serve you. He is actually raising himself from the Namaprad stage to Namabhas stage. And the proof is, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu says, when you are at Namabhas, you will find the process joyful. All your differences with other devotees will dissolve. You will be happy as a devotee. You will be blissful. ISKCON will appear to be a good place. Everything will be wonderful and people will be very nice and friendly. There will be problem, but you will feel that, okay, Krishna is merciful, and you will be happy struggling. So the point is, Namabhas stage is not it's a stage. You don't have to feel hopeless. It's not that, oh, I am so offensive, so I cannot be at Namabhas stage. No. Namabhas stage is a stage where we are trying to be free from offenses. Dim reflection of the holy name that Haridas Thakur explains to Gopal Chakravarti and others in that assembly, that just like when the sun is about to rise, sun has not risen, but when the sun is about to rise, the dawn, morning, it's light. There is so much light, and all the thieves, robbers, ghosts, they run away. Similarly, even before the full day sun of the holy name rises, there is Namabhas, which is not the full holy name, pure holy name, but the mere reflection of the holy name, that is sufficient to drive away all our, you know, conditionings and anarthas. We can actually chant with great feeling. That is a very good stage. And we can reach this stage. We may be slipping down, committing offenses, in the sense we may be inattentive sometimes, on and off, but we are trying and struggling. And that is all possible at even our stage. That is why, what is the 10th offense to the holy name we chant? It is also an offense. No, that is in. It is an offense. Can you repeat it? Not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachment. So, the offense is, maintaining material attachments is an offense. It's not that if you have material attachments, it's an offense. Material attachments will be there. What to do? We have this demoniac mind. This mind we have carried, you know. Mind may say so many things, and we may be offensive mentally, and we may have a lot of attachments. Having attachments is not an offense, but maintaining them and justifying them in the name of, I'm so busy, I'm okay, Krishna consciousness is going nice, I don't have to endeavor. Prabhupada will take care. Yes, Prabhupada is merciful, that is their mercy. But on our part, we have to endeavor, isn't it? We have to try and pray to Krishna to free us from material attachments. So if you are not praying for that means you are maintaining the material attachments. So that means, Namabhas, we may be the most fallen, but we have hope in Krishna consciousness. We can pray to Krishna and rise from that level and rise to Namabhas stage. So this is the actual Sankirtan. This is the actual mercy of the holy name. And how to reach this stage, how to actually endeavor and chant, that is also explained. And for this many, you know, we hear many times, many tips for improving chanting. The challenge is to remember all of them and practice them. After some time we forget all these wonderful things that we hear about the holy name. So therefore we have to constant hearing about the holy name, constant appreciation of the holy name. And then we can actually chant with feeling. So there are many techniques, but there is no technique which is a substitute for developing faith in the holy name. Our ultimate challenge, actually what we have to endeavor, rather than look for some shortcut tips to improve chanting, which shortcuts will never help. We have to actually beg the Lord to give us unflinching faith in the holy name. Because if you have faith, then all the techniques are there. If you don't have faith in the fact that holy name is not different from Krishna, then we may have a lot of techniques, but we'll keep struggling. So it's good to have those techniques and tips. At the same time, we have to aspire to develop strong faith, and that comes by hearing, chanting, associating with devotees. It's very important to have faith in the holy name. A vehicle number 7649 is parked in front of the gate and is creating traffic on the road. It's causing inconvenience to a lot of devotees. Vehicle number 7649. So the owner is requested to kindly remove the vehicle immediately. You'll have to get up from the class if you are there and go out immediately. Okay, sorry for this detour. We are coming back. So the point is about faith. So if you have faith, then we can be at Namabhas stage. And this is the most challenging thing, to have faith in the holy name. Because holy name being non-different from Krishna, it's not. We may theoretically psych ourselves up, you know, yes, holy name is not different from Krishna. But to actually have faith is a big thing. So we have to beg Krishna to give us this faith. Because it's not easy to accept something being non-different from its name. Do you have any experience in this world where something is different, something is same as its name? Like now, after the class, we'll all be served a khichdi breakfast, prasad. So if we go down and we announce, there is special khichdi here, if we announce like this, and we all go down excitedly, and we are made to sit in the corridor, and we all sit, and then we are told by one devotee in the microphone, okay, all of you are going to be served special khichdi, prasad, so all of you please chant loudly, khichdi, khichdi, khichdi. You are satisfied. Because khichdi is not different from khichdi. No, because we have never experienced something like that. We'll get angry and we will never come again for khichdi. We'll come for the other things, but we'll not believe. For we don't have any experience of something being non-different from, you know, the name. So when we are told Hare Krishna is non-different from Krishna, we may accept it. But deep within, that acceptance is not there. So, and we may have all intellectual convictions about it. But that acceptance has to come from the heart. That holy name is not different from Krishna. And once, and if we aspire for this faith and we get this faith, then Krishna consciousness will appear nice. Wonderful. Because this is the challenge, faith. Because problems will be there even if we try to avoid them. Struggles, a devotee cannot avoid struggles. And even if we avoid, they will come. They will find their way. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one lecture I was hearing recently, Krishna has made a unique program for each one of us, unique program of purification, which is unique for each one of us, different. So Maharaj gave a nice example. He said, Krishna is a very good tailor. He has stitched a coat. This coat is called as coat of purification. And this coat you cannot exchange. Nobody else can wear that coat. So Krishna makes you wear that coat tight and you can't remove it. And then Krishna goes to another person and to him he has stitched a different coat. So everybody has to wear this coat of purification. Everybody has to go through that unique struggle. We cannot avoid it. In fact, struggle we may go through till the last breath of our life. Struggle is not bad, but imagine we have to struggle whole life and we have no faith also in the holy name. How can we struggle? It will be impossible to struggle after some time. So cultivation of faith in the holy name is the most important challenge for a sadhaka. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Agyascha Shraddhadanascha Samshayatma Vinashyati Nayam Lokostina Paro Na Sukham Samshayatmana. He says, that may be Agya. Agya means ignorant. He doesn't know anything about the glories of holy name. Ashraddhadana. Ashraddhadana means he knows a lot of scriptures, but he has no faith. This could be not true. And there is Samshayatma. He has knowledge. He has faith also. But Samshayatma means doubt. Maybe, yeah, it's correct. I believe I have knowledge and I know it is true, but maybe it will not work for me. You know, I'm so fallen that I have no hope or whatever. He has Samshay on holy name. Such a person, nayam lokosthi na paro, na sukham samshayatma. He is neither happy in material life nor happy in spiritual life. So eventually we have to cultivate strong faith in the holy name. So to be situated on the platform of Namabhas, where we actually perform Sankirtan, excellent Sankirtan, we call out to Krishna, that Sankirtan is possible if we aspire to cultivate faith in the holy name. Now our next challenge is, how can we develop faith? Hearing chanting is there. But along with hearing chanting, we have to aspire to have a genuine service attitude. Because holy name, what is the meaning of the holy name? Oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your service. So if we don't have this attitude, then that is Namapra chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, very interesting point, that if you are not chanting prayerfully, then that chanting is not different. That holy name is not different from the letters of our alphabet. It's simply alphabets that we are uttering. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement. And Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Bahu janma kore yadi shravana kirtan tabutona payapade Krishna premadhan. Bahu janma kore yadi shravan kirtan. We may chant for bahu janma, many, many lifetimes. And we may do shravan kirtan. Tabutona paya pade Krishna premadhan. Still we will not get the Krishna premadhan, wealth of Krishna prem, if we do not have the proper attitude of wanting to serve Krishna, of wanting to be the servant of devotees. For the whole, everything boils on ultimately to this consciousness, that I am a servant of the Lord, I am a servant of the devotees, and this consciousness, when we chant, then our chanting becomes good. So the key, because why this attitude and consciousness is important, because this is the connecting, because how can we actually chant the holy name? It's impossible, because holy name is pure. Holy name, what is holy name? It is from the spiritual world. Atha Krishna, Sri Krishna Namadi, Na Bhavet Grayam Indriye. We cannot access the holy name with our material mind, senses, material tongue. We cannot, because it is pure. It is from the spiritual world, and we are in the material world. We are rotting here. We have material contaminated senses, and we have this contaminated tongue and ear, which we have engaged to hear and chant all mundane songs and do all prajalpa and eat all rubbish for so many lifetimes. And now on this tongue, on this, through this ear, we are going to access Satchidananda, Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can that happen? It's not possible. Na bhavet grayam indriye, but sevon mukehi jivado. The connecting link, the connection is the service attitude, the mood of humility, the third verse of Shikshastakam. That bridges the gap between the second and the first, the glories of the holy name and our disqualification. But through the attitude, through the mood of Trinadapi Sunichana verse, we actually connect ourselves to Krishna. We allow that pure holy name to manifest even in our tongue. Just like we have this chandelier, bulbs here. Now, if there is no electricity supply, they will be simply bulbs. It is the current that flows that makes it light, illuminate. Similarly, our chanting can be just like a simple bulb. It will not be electrified. The attitude, the consciousness is that current that flows through it and that makes the chanting what it is. Like we may have gun and we may fire bullets. And it may be empty gun. It may just make sound. So we may simply make sound. But when there is bullets, it actually fires. Similarly, when we have the consciousness of being a servant, attitude of being a servant, then that holy name triggers off everything. Because with this body we are trying to contact the supramundane, transcendental Krishna. So we have to have the proper consciousness of being the servant of all devotees and Krishna. So when we chant like that, then the whole process, the connection with Krishna becomes established. So this basically means that we have to take our chanting from an intellectual level. We have to actually go beyond the intelligence and the mind. We have to enter the heart. We have to actually appeal to Krishna from the heart, not from the mind. Mind is a storehouse of information. Unlimited information we have. And this level of what we have, our knowledge about holy name, it is a theoretical non-realized level. Our existence is a theoretical non-realized level of existence. But we have to go to our, but that knowledge has to go into our chitta, our consciousness. We have to actually be able to internalize all that information. Otherwise, we may know everything about the holy name, but still when we are provoked, when we face dishonor, when we are misunderstood, we will react instinctively. No? We'll allow the, I remember once I gave a class for new crowd in our base a few years ago on three modes. And one section was on anger, how anger we should abandon. New crowd, and I had told the cook to make excellent prasad. We had made Chinese noodles, and I felt to make it little, tasty, you put ketchup, tomato ketchup. So he had bought tomato ketchup from outside and made a lot of quantity. And then we were talking. I gave the talk, then I went to the kitchen because I had told nice prasad, but they served banana and some nimbu juice. I was shocked. And I went to the kitchen and I saw so much noodles is there. I said, why are you not serving? And he said, Prabhu, we put, as you said, noodle sauce and nicely we made it. I said, okay, serve. Then he very sheepishly said, no, Prabhu. Then he showed me the bottles. So many bottles of ketchup he had used. All of them contained garlic ketchup. And of course, we couldn't serve that. So I blasted him, And then I came out. And again, smiling at the boys and talking. And one boy, he said, Prabhu, what a class, especially that point on anger was excellent. How to control anger. And I said, oh, just 2 minutes ago I was angry at someone. Instinctively, you know. So we may know a lot of things about holy name. Sit with the bead bag. All that knowledge goes for a toss because it is at the mental level. It is at the theoretical level. So the challenge for a sadhaka, like all of us, is to ensure that that knowledge transmits from our mental level to the heart. Because we have to offer our mind to Krishna, I agree. But what is a mind? It is simply information. Lot of knowledge we have about, feel, lot of things about, we know. So mind may be a storehouse of information, but heart is the seat of all desires. So when we say offer our heart, we are offering our desire to Krishna. So a devotee endeavors to chant with feeling and offer his heart to Krishna. Then all that we know about chanting will make sense. Once we did one exercise also in one of our holy name seminars, we told all the devotees, okay, we'll do an exercise. Because everybody knows about holy name. We hear so many verses. So when we said, all of you write how many glories you know of holy name. So don't have to write the whole verse or whole point. Just, you know, like, Harer Nam, Harer Nam, Harer. So just write Harer Nam, Harer Nam, so that you know this verse. Second point, Kaler Doshe Nide Rajan, some verse or some statement Prabhupada saying, 99% success is dependent on holy name, like that people wrote. So then in the end we asked, okay, how many glories you know? Somebody said 5, somebody said 25. So different devotees, so we took the highest. So one devotee in the 10-minute exercise had written 35 glories of holy name. And the lowest was 2. So then we said, so some of us know a lot about holy name and some of us know nothing. So we asked their realization. So Prabhu, congratulations, you know 35 glories of the holy name. He said, Prabhu, my realization, we asked him his realization. He says, I'm feeling miserable that I know so much, but still my chanting is bad. And the one who got only 2, he was saying, Prabhu, I'm so unfortunate. I don't know anything about holy name. I've been coming to temple for so long. I realized today after this exercise that I'm... So basically both parties were humble. You know? So this is our condition actually. That we may, even if we don't know, unfortunate. And if you know also, in one sense, because that knowledge has not gone deeper. So a devotee has to endeavor to make that knowledge go in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his commentary on Shishastakam verse that heart, with a heart full of repentance, one should cry to be able to chant the holy name purely. So in the mood of repentance that I have no taste, Durdaivam Idrisham, I'm so unfortunate, in that mood we chant. And in that mood when we chant, that is Namabhas. There is also sometimes a misunderstanding on this. Many times we may just be in so much self-condemnation that I'm fallen, my chanting is bad, and that chanting becomes worse. You know, instead of praying to Krishna, my chanting is bad, I'm so fallen. But we are not, nobody is so fallen that he cannot pray to Krishna. You know, nobody, there is no condition in which we are that we cannot turn to Krishna. So actually, chanting can be very positive and blissful exercise if we also feel that, okay, my chanting was bad, okay. But now, this Maha Mantra I'm going to chant nicely. But what happens to many of us many times is we chant and 13 rounds go bad. And then 14th round we realize, chanting is supposed to be very attentive. It's an offense. I wasted so much time. Now 3 rounds are left. What I will do in these 3 rounds? And then we... because we feel so beaten that we don't have the strength to fight, you know, the remaining rounds. It happens many times, 15 rounds bekar gaya, then last round we realize, hey, I'm not supposed to chant badly. But how can I fight? It's too much. And we give up the fight. Not only we give up the fight, unfortunate is we justify our not fighting. Little realizing that if we fight, we'll please Krishna and we will be able to control the mind and we'll be able to actually chant well eventually. That will happen. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purport that just there was a sparrow who lost her eggs in the ocean. And she wanted those eggs back and the ocean was not returning. So she took a vow to dry up the ocean. She started taking water in her small beaks. And Garuda was amazed at the determination of the sparrow. And he came and he threatened the ocean to return the eggs. And then the sparrow got the eggs. So our attempt to fight with the mind is like that sparrow trying to dry up the ocean. But by doing that, by struggling, by being positive, we are attracting Krishna. Krishna, wow, this rascal, this fool is making such a big attempt. He deserves, you know. Krishna will have a good laugh at our fight, but he will be merciful. But if we give up the fight, then that means we are showing by our desire to Krishna that I am not serious about being attentive in my japa. Because ultimately the only thing we have in our possession is desire. Mind is beyond us. Chanting is actually hopelessly beyond us in one sense. I mean, to a great extent, it's beyond us. Mind and senses. But if we can, whenever we remember, oh, I have heard so much about the holy name, I'm not supposed to be inattentive. What do we do at that time? That actually determines the offense. Because that is the time when our free will comes into action. That is the time when we can actually say, no, okay, no, Krishna, I'm going to chant. And then we chant, again the mind goes. Mind wanders. That is okay. It is a pathological condition of the mind to make us wander here and there. So our failure in japa is not that the mind wanders. That is not the failure. The failure is when we realize that the mind is wandering, we continue to indulge in the wandering thoughts. That is a failure. The failure is when we realize the mind is wandering and we don't fight. So when we fight, we are pleasing Krishna and coming to Namabha's platform. So we should not give up the fight just because my chanting was bad. So, 14 rounds bad. Okay, Krishna, look at me, what a fallen person I am. But now this round I am going to chant nicely. For that attitude pleases Krishna. In sports also, if you see, karmis, they have better positive attitude than many devotees. This karmis who play sports, I remember, it's a mundane example, but it makes a point, nice point. You know, when I was in school, we had seen one tennis match. So this man, top seed, he defeated in the finals of a big Grand Slam tournament. He defeated him 6-0, 6-0, 6-0, which is like the worst kind of defeat a person can get. But I still remember 6-0, 6-0, 5-0, and the last game was going on. He was serving, and this man was playing as the one who is losing. He was, you know, playing as if he's going to win the match. He had no hope, you know. He was standing and the ball came and he was sweating and he was appreciated by the media. That what an attitude he had. And as contrast, you can contrast this during the same time, our Indian football team played with the Dutch. I don't know about now, I've stopped watching all this long time back. But this is many years ago when I was in school, Indian football team was known for its extreme pathetic playing. You know? Like India's best team, best 11 players were chosen to play because India would not even forget qualifying for the World Cup. They would not even qualify for the pre-qualifying tournament for the World Cup. So the best Indian team was chosen with 11 players to play against one Dutch club. One club in Holland. So this club had come to India and they had a series of matches, 5 matches. And in all the matches, the Dutch team defeated India by a score of 15-0, 14-0. But it was funny, and all the stadiums would be packed. Indian team is playing against a Dutch ordinary club. But the Indian team was criticized heavily by the media because when they would lose 11-0, 12-0, and few minutes were left, you know, 2-3 minutes were left for the match to get over. So the Indian players would just kick the ball here, there. They were so brutally assaulted, you know, they were like smashed. They had no hope. So they would just be casual. So they were not criticized for being bad players. The criticism was how they can take so cheaply. The attitude was criticized. Of course, this is a mundane example. But in chanting, you can see, we have no hope. We are like the losing side. Always. We'll always lose against the mind. But by the attitude of, okay, kya kare? Chalega. I'm doing so much seva or I've got so many things. Hare Krishna. It's just, no. That attitude will not please Krishna. When we fight, though you are lost, we'll be appreciated by Krishna. Oh, this fellow is sincere. His attitude is proper. So eventually we will get taste. But what happens, psychologically, when our chanting goes down and we are beaten and we don't have the desire to fight because we feel if I fight, again I'm going to be beaten. It's like somebody in the boxing ring, you know, he's fighting and he gets knocked out. And then he gets up and again he's going to be knocked out. So he'll feel, I'm happy in the ground only. Let me. If I get up, I'll be knocked. But he doesn't realize that chanting is different. When we get up and we get knocked by the mind, we get beaten. But if we fight, we'll become stronger and eventually we'll become resistant. And our body will become so tough that we'll be able to take in the knocks of the mind, and we can chant. Because mind is crazy. Maniye pagal mora. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Namane shasan, sada achetan, vishayaro eche ghora. That my mind is mad. It's crazy. Maniye pagal mora. Somebody should make a movie. Man to pagal hai. They should make a movie like that. Some devotee may make. It's crazy, you know. It doesn't listen to us. Namane shasan, sada achetan, always restless, wandering here, there. Vishay, and it's always absorbed in Vishay. So our hope is what? Not to get beaten, but try with our little muscles, whatever we have, fight with the mind. And then Krishna will make us strong. And because Krishna is the master of the senses. Anata dekhiya more, Gopinath is praying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tumi Rishikesha, Rishika Damiya, Taraye Samsmriti Ghore. That, please, you are seeing me, please take compassion on me, I am an orphan. Tumi Rishikesh, you are the master of the senses. You can control my senses and mind. And you can pick me out of this ocean of suffering. So therefore, while chanting, although our case is hopeless, we can show to Krishna, by coming to the Namabhas platform, by fighting with the mind. I would like to conclude with an instructive story I read a few years ago, which applies to sadhaka very well, especially about our unfortunate plight with our mind. We have to live with our mind. We cannot divorce him. We cannot just kick him out of our existence. Unless he gets purified, the mind has to be with us. There is a nice story for this. There was the main teacher of this martial arts, Taekwondo, I think, Judo, Aikido, there is different divisions. There is one particular art, and the main Mahajan, the guru of that, how he learnt is a very interesting story. He went to this Buddhist monastery in the Himalayas somewhere to learn. And this great sage was a recluse. He said, I'll teach you, but you have to live in the ashram. You'll have to live in this monastery. So he agreed. And this teacher did not teach him at all anything. For 2 years, he was only washing pots and cleaning, and you would think, now my master would call me and teach me. And finally, after 2 years, one day when he was cleaning the pot, he would get many times the thought that I should leave this guru. You know, he's just making me a slave. He's not teaching me anything. But he would control himself. He had faith. That faith he was having, that no. And then after cleaning for so many years, and one day he thought, now the guru will teach me. So the guru came with the, as he was cleaning, suddenly, bang, he heard a big beating on the back. And he looked back, his guru had a big stick. And he had bit him very badly. And then he said, what have you done? He shouted. And the guru smiled and walked away. So he was bewildered. And he said, I should give him a fitting reply. But he said, no, guru, you know, he's teaching me. And next day he was again washing pots. Again this teacher came with a stick, and from a different angle he was cooking like this. From here he came and bit. And so then it was happening every day, and then it slowly began to happen in the same day 2 times. Unexpected, you would be doing something and suddenly you would get a beating. Unexpected quarters, and then it became every hour. So then he became super alert. Even when sleeping, you would be... He became alert. You know, he got that body language. He became so... Because his guru would come anytime with a stick, beat him and smile and go away. So finally, not only he became alert, but he didn't want to resign himself to the fate of getting beaten. And he couldn't retaliate because he's a spiritual master. And he had faith. He had cultivated that faith and prayerful attitude. For next time, what he did, when he was cleaning the pots, the guru came. And because of this practice of having gotten beaten so many times, he realized that the guru is coming, he's about to beat me. And as soon as he got the beating, he dodged himself. So when he dodged himself, and the guru smiled, gave a big smile, bigger smile than till now, and walked away. So this man also smiled. He realized that I'm on the right track. So the next time again he came. So this became daily contest. So anytime, anywhere, the guru would come and beat and he would dodge himself. Somehow he would escape. Eventually, after 2 years of going through this torture, the guru called him and said, "Now I am going to teach you the martial arts. But you have already learned 99%. I am going to teach you something very simple." And he taught him something very simple technique. And this man then went on to become the greatest acharya on this martial arts. Why? What had happened? This guru told him, "For the last 5 years you have learned humility and you have learned how to defend yourself. Now you have to, because now you have learned so expertly to defend yourself, nobody can defeat you. You are unconquerable. You have learned to dodge yourself very nicely. So the lesson for us in this story is, we are also getting beaten non-stop. But if we give up the fight, then we are unfortunate. If you hang on and learn to dodge the mind and somehow come back to Krishna, come back to chanting of the holy name, come back. And then again we get beaten, again not giving up, again fighting, fighting, fighting. And then eventually what we have to learn is something very little. Krishna being pleased, he will reveal everything to us by seeing our fight. He'll make us strong." I remember many years ago, Vishwaroop Prabhu asked this question to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, that, "Maharaj, I'm chanting for 20 years, still I have no taste. It's so much struggle, so difficult to chant. And no taste." Maharaj said, "If Krishna wants, he can give you taste tomorrow morning. And if he doesn't want, he will not give you for the next 30 years. But," then Maharaj said, but "be assured that even if Krishna doesn't give you taste for the next 30 years, but if you keep trying and struggling, then when you are just few seconds before you are going to die, Krishna will come and he will reveal the whole spiritual world and all the glories of the holy name to you. Just few seconds before you die. But till then, Krishna will make you struggle and see your sincerity." Because struggle is not bad. I remember once Radhana Swami Maharaj asked Dwarkadish Prabhu, "How are you?" And he said, "Maharaj, I am struggling." Maharaj said, "Thank you very much." That is good. We have to struggle. We have no choice. But we have to show Krishna by that struggle that we want to chant purely. We are getting beaten by the mind, but we want to learn and fight with the mind for Krishna's pleasure. Then our chanting will please Krishna. And then Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, will give us the strength to overcome the attacks of the mind and also chant purely. So to conclude today's talk, we discussed on the glories of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and then we spoke about Sankirtan, the real meaning of the word Sankirtan, perfect chanting, which means basically offering our heart to Krishna. And we discussed the three stages of chanting, Namaparad, Namabhas, and Shuddhanam. And Namabhas is the stage where we all have to aspire to come. Simply by our desire and willingness, we can come to this stage. And to reach this stage, we have to cultivate unflinching faith in the holy name. And this faith will come if we have the proper attitude, proper consciousness, the spirit of servitude. And this is the crux of the matter. Therefore, it's said that pure devotees don't want Krishna first. They want bhakti first. Because if you get Krishna and you don't have bhakti, then we are useless. We are like Duryodhan. Duryodhan saw Krishna. Duryodhan had Krishna, but because he didn't have bhakti, he couldn't appreciate Krishna. But if you have bhakti, then we can appreciate Krishna. Bhakti means this attitude of service, humility. So as sadhakas, we can pray for this and try to chant purely for the pleasure of Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for speaking way, way, way beyond my level of realization, but as for my own purification and for service to all of you, I spoke this. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments to offer? Anandanavan Prabhu, and then
Prabhu, you are speaking about Namabhas and Shuddhanam, and you made it very clear that more or less we might come up to only up to Namabhas and having a struggle, and this struggle we have to go on. And with having a faith and having a service attitude, we will be increasing the standard of our Harinam. Now, I can understand that as far as Namabhas is concerned, we might be feeling it that we have to go on struggling till the last breath of our life. struggle is going to be there continuously, and always we have to give a fight. But there should be some type of a response or some indication we should get it, that I am little bit getting a naam prem or something, Krishna's holy name, the taste I am getting it. So is there any way by which we can understand it, that I am going little bit ahead from Namabhas?
Yes, definitely.
What is that?
We discussed in the class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Namabhas stage you will find scriptures interesting, you will find association of devotees very pleasing, you will love to hear and chant about Krishna. The process appears beautiful. The process of Krishna consciousness appears to be a wonderful, refreshing alternative to what the materialistic life we are leading. Somebody is chanting at Namabhas, he will be blissful. He will want to associate with devotees. And there is a test to know whether we are actually on the right track or not. Just like if you go to a doctor and say, oh my dear doctor, I am very sick. So the doctor, you know what he does? He asks us our symptoms. He says, okay, what do you feel? And we say, I feel feverish, giddy. The doctor will listen to us, but he may not trust us completely. He has his own way of testing whether we are sick or not. So he will have his stethoscope and he will do his own thing. So similarly, at sadhaka level, our mind is so crazy. Sometimes we feel I'm advancing. Sometimes I feel I'm fallen. Sometimes we feel I'm like a Goswami now. I've controlled my senses. And suddenly after 10 years, you know, the anarthas just pop up. And then we think, oh, what is happening to me? And I thought I was free from lust. And we, so crazy. Mind sometimes convinces us I'm good. So this is all like the patient who is, you know, delirium state. Is rambling few things here and there. But the doctor test is there. And the doctor test is two things. One is we can find out from senior devotees, Prabhu, am I on the right track? What do you think about me seeing my devotional service? And second thing is our own test. That is, let us take one time period. Let us take, this is 2009, July 12th. So you can take 2008, July 12th. And then spend 5 minutes and analyze yourself. Compared to 2007 to 2008, your activities of hearing, chanting. How has been your hearing chanting from 2008 to 2009? As my desire to hear about Krishna increased in the last 1 year, am I feeling that I should chant more? Am I taking association of devotees more seriously? Am I offering prayers to Krishna? We can check that. So we can get a feeling that yes, I'm on the right track. And if we have now reached a stage compared to last 3 years that we feel, oh, Bhagavatam class is a burden, going to temple is a challenge, that means there is some gadbad, our spiritual health is deteriorating. So we can know from that. But still there can be a fault in that, so better to approach, take the first step. Ask some genuine Vaishnavas who are sincere. Ask them, Prabhu, can please give me honest feedback.
Hare Krishna.
Is it clear?
Yeah, I could understand. So Prabhuji, supposing we get some taste that, okay, I would like to hear, I would like to chant, I like to serve the devotees. Okay, after that what?
I don't know. I've not even got taste for chanting, hearing, so I don't know what happens after that. Honestly, you know. But basically, I personally feel we should not, I'm not talking about you, but we needn't worry so much about, you know, what Krishna is going to do. We should have faith, utsaha, nishaya, that Krishna will take care. I mean, I feel we should not be unnecessarily worried about on a day-to-day affair, you know, analyzing our consciousness on a day-to-day basis. And I think we should have that much faith in Krishna that we'll have our ups and downs, but as long as we're on the right track, Krishna will take care. I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm not able to satisfactorily answer this. Maybe Adhikesha Prabhu can give comments on this. Announcement? Okay, after the class? Okay, I'll tell you just again. Yes, Mataji, and then maybe you can take Prabhuji's question. Is it okay, Anandam Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
beautiful class. It's not a question.
Yeah.
Can I tell something I want to share which I heard?
Please.
About there's no difference between Krishna and his name. My son in America, we always have this exchange of opinion, views and all. It was a very beautiful idea, so I want to share with all. He takes children classes in America. So they ask, he said there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. So one child got up and he said, Prabhu, How can you say that there is no difference between Krishna and holy name? When we say holy name, where we see Krishna, we don't feel Krishna. So he was baffled. He went to his Swami and asked him. The answer was very beautiful, which I'm going to share with all of you with your permission. My son, the other classes are in the evening. So he put off the light and he said, children, can you see me? They said, no. Then he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Can you hear me? Yes, Prabhu, everybody said. He says, when I sat in darkness, you couldn't see me. Now you can see me and you heard me in darkness. Similarly, we are in darkness. The world is full of darkness, ignorance. We are in darkness, so we can't see Krishna, but we can hear him. So that's the difference between
Hari Bol. Thank you, Madhavi. Hari Bol. We'll take this question and then you can make your announcement.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. One of the lecture Maharaj told that faith develops by hearing and serving in the association of devotees. So I just wanted clarification, how and why faith develops by hearing and serving in the association of devotees.
Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that, I think in Nectar of Instruction he writes about that if somebody wants to make business money, he can make anywhere. But in the stock market, he makes, you know, like, he has association. So he makes. Prabhupada gives this example. About a drunkard also. How to become a drunkard? How to get faith in drinking and with association of drunkards. Similarly, those who love Krishna, if you associate with them, then that love transmits into our heart. Because advanced devotees are the ones who are able to access the pure holy name. See, we agree we are contaminated. And holy name is pure. And holy name is from the spiritual world. And we are in the material world. But the pure devotees, they import the holy name. These advanced devotees, when they are chanting, they are actually chanting that holy name which is there, which is actually spiritual. So when we associate with them, then we get mercy. So that's why we emphasize on hearing in the association of devotees. Yeah, serving those who are dear to Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased. Name bhakta jana partha nama bhaktascha jana mat bhakta nam chaye bhakta tame bhakta tamo mata. Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So Krishna becomes more pleased when we surrender ourselves to his devotees. Because it is very easy to come in front of Krishna and say, Krishna, I love you. But to say the same emotion and feeling to another devotee is very challenging because the devotee will crush our false ego. Krishna will be always standing here. Radha Gopinath will be standing and smiling even if you don't come for 1 month. And if you come after 1 month and we see Radha Gopinath, Gopinath will be smiling in his threefold bending form. And we will feel, oh, Krishna is so nice. He's always smiling at me. But this devotee, you know, he tells me, Prabhu, you're in Maya, you didn't come. Krishna is so good, but devotees... Being in association of devotees and serving with them may challenge our false ego. So when we allow our false ego to get crushed, so and that happens in the association of devotees. So therefore Krishna becomes pleased that we are willing to become humble.
Okay. In one of the lectures of Radhishyam Prabhu, I heard that when we come to Krishna, it is difficult to develop attraction for Krishna, but it is more, and when you cannot develop attraction for Krishna, you should try to develop attraction for a pure devotee. So in that sense, the previous points, it become opposite only, that it is easier to develop attraction for devotees. So it means, how is that resolved?
When we serve them, when we serve devotees, it becomes very easy. Because they get mercy. Krishna gives mercy and then we become attracted. Because we can reciprocate with devotees. We can discuss more after the class. Because it's beyond 10 now. 10 o'clock is the limit. So we will stop the class here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have an announcement to make. Please be seated. Here, microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Sriman